Hey, good morning and welcome again. Really glad to have you here this morning. We're on week two of this series called This Too Shall Pass. And the whole point of the series is this, is that there are various seasons in our life that come and go. That's just how the way things work. And some of these seasons are full of joy, some are full of sorrow, some are full of heartbreak, some are full of breakthrough. But either way, right, we want to take the next few weeks to talk about some of the lessons that we learn in the midst of these moments that do not last. Because in the worst of seasons in our life, or in the greatest of seasons in our lives, I really think that there is a lesson that God wants us to learn in the midst of those seasons, in the midst of whatever it is that we are experiencing, the highs or the lows. And so that's what this whole series is all about. And this season of life that we want to talk about today, it's one that I think a lot of people are going to resonate with, and we thought it might be easier to just show you what this season of life that we're talking about is all about. We thought it'd be easier to show you rather than describe it to you. So if you would, take a look at this right here. Anyone have a guess at what possibly this season of life that we could be talking about today is all about? My parents are nodding their heads. They're like, yeah, I think I know what this season is all about. People who don't have kids are like, man, I'm never having kids in my life. Okay, really quickly here, just in case you're wondering, that is my middle son, Oli. It's tough to be a pastor's kid, I realize. And he's screaming and he's crying. And I don't know if you caught it there at the end, but he threw his carrot at Erica because, get this, man, this is so awful, right? He threw the carrot because Erica cut his carrots in half so that they would be easier for him to eat. Well, what a horrible mother, right? Who would do such a thing? Who would cut her child's carrots in half so that it was easier for him to eat? She did admit, however, she realized when all was said and done and when she sent this to me, she said, you know what? I was filming him while he was throwing his tantrum. So maybe I deserved a little bit of what I got there. Either way, these are some of the moments that I think a lot of us here experience. These are some of the moments, some of the joys of raising kids. And I had a hunch that some of you might know what I'm talking about. You might be in the middle of that season right now of raising young kids or maybe even raising teenagers, which I don't even want to think about, right? And we know this is not the case for everybody here, but we thought we would take some time to talk about this season of life, just on the off chance that some of you are there right now. Just on the off chance that anyone here at Midcurrent, this new church that has practically more kids than adults, right? Just on the off chance that anyone here at this new church that we're, you know, the average family has like no less than five kids. We thought on the off chance that anybody is in this season of life right now, maybe we'd spend some time talking about that. So if that's you, let's just be honest. These years, and you see this too, maybe if you're not in those years still, you're watching this with your grandkids or you're teaching kids or caring for kids, right? This season of life, we're just being honest, it can be difficult. It can be a little discouraging at times. In fact, the last couple weeks, I've had two different people reach out to me asking, hey, would you just be thinking about us? We're asking for prayer for their families and their young kids. And both people used the same exact phrase when they reached out to me. They said, we're in the trenches. Sten, we got young kids and we're in the trenches. Raising kids, which if you actually think about it, raising kids is really more like raising adults. We're not raising kids. We're raising adults. I think we're far better off thinking about it that way. But either way, right, raising the next generation of leaders, it may often result in the feeling of being in the trenches. Like, whew, this is tough work. It's a season of tempers. It's a season of tantrums. It's a season of tudes, as in attitudes and teenagers. And it's sometimes a season of a whole lot of tension in our life. Maybe tension in our families, tension in our homes. And here's the thing, we don't like tension. We don't like that feeling of tension. Tension makes us want to, sometimes I think, tension wants us to you know, just hit fast forward, right? Tension in this area of our life can sometimes just, you know, make us kind of wish this season away. Like, could we just get this over with, right? Can we just fast forward? Let's just grit our teeth. Let's just put our heads down and get through these difficult years. We think, man, we're in the trenches, but this is tough and it's going to be over soon. We're thinking just keep all arms and legs inside the car and this roller coaster will soon come to an end. I mean, I think that's sometimes how we can feel with this whole thing. The truth is, right, when it comes to this season, the truth is this season will pass, right? This too shall pass. Soon it will be over, but I don't think God wants us to just barrel through. Yes, this season of raising kids, raising teenagers, raising adults, really, it's a season that it's going to pass, it's going to be over, but I don't think God wants us to just barrel through these years with our eyes closed and our fists and our jaws clenched tight. I think he has something more in mind for us. And so I want us to learn from these years and I want us to leverage them as best as we can. And so whether you're raising kids or raising grandkids or you're teaching kids or you're caring for kids, you're about to have kids, you think someday you might have kids, or if you are a kid, if you are a teenager here this morning in the middle of some moments, in the trenches, right? In the middle of some moments that are filled with tension right now, I'm hoping and praying that at the end of today, you might look at this kind of tension in a whole new way. In fact, when we look at what the Bible says about kids, and when we look at what the Bible compares kids to, I think we might just see that tension is the greatest gift that we never even asked for. When we look at what the Bible says about kids and how it compares kids, I think we might see that tension is the greatest gift that we maybe never asked for. So let me show you what I mean here. There's a man from the Old Testament days. He was a king. His name was King Solomon. He's often considered one of the wisest men who ever lived. And he wrote the wisdom sayings of the book of Proverbs, right? These, you know, tweetable wisdom sayings from God. He also wrote a handful of the Psalms, which were really just songs and poems and prayers written by God's people, kind of for God's people. And so this is Solomon writing so many of these. And here's what Solomon says in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 127. Here's what he says. I want you to see it this morning. He says, "Children are a gift from the Lord." Okay, that's a good reminder when you're getting carrots thrown at you, right? For some of you, you came just to hear that right now, okay? Hey, we got to remember this. Children are a gift from the Lord. And he says they are a reward from him. Now get this, verse 4. "Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand." And so how joyful, some translations say, how blessed, right? How blessed is the man? How fortunate, how lucky you might say, how fortunate, how blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them, right? "Children born to young men are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of those little carrot throwers? Okay. Now this idea that, you know, that kids are a gift and a blessing can lead us into a whole other topic of conversation, which I don't want to be our focus today, other than to say, if you're waiting on that gift, if that's a gift that you're open to and that you're wanting, but it's not happening yet, if you're waiting on that gift, I don't think it's a punishment. I just want to say that, right? I don't think that God is mad at you or punishing you. There could be a whole lot of other things that are happening in that time of waiting. We actually talked about seasons of waiting last night, that maybe God wants to do something in us more than he wants to do something for us in a season of waiting. So maybe something like that is happening. There could be a whole lot of things. I just don't want you to assume that punishment is one of those things. So I want to make that clear while we're talking about kids here this morning. And then what I want to do is I want to shift our focus to what it is that Solomon compares children to. Because I think his choice of words is significant here for us if we start to think about it. What does he say? The children are like what? Arrows. He says children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. That they're a tool. Right, that they're a gift, he says. That they're a gift, they're a tool, they're an asset to be released, to be let go of, to be released into the playing field, into the arena, right? That they're meant to be released. And so the question is, when we think about the effectiveness of an arrow, when we think about the effectiveness of an arrow in battle or in hunting or in archery tag, if anyone's ever played that with the big marshmallows on the end, right? When you think about the effectiveness of an arrow, however it is let go of, what is it that makes an arrow fly? What is it that makes an arrow fly so straight and so true and with such speed and with such precision and with such direction? It's tension. What makes an arrow fly so straight, so true? It's tension, right? If an arrow is going to fly straight, if it's going to travel any significant amount of distance, right? If it's going to, hit the target that it was intended to hit, if it's actually going to travel in the direction that we wanted it to travel, there has to be the right amount of tension to it. And so if our kids and our grandkids and our teenage kids and our neighbor kids and our nieces and our nephews, right? If they're like arrows in my quiver, in your quiver, right? If they're like arrows, gifts to us, tools given to us, assets to us, meant to be released into the world, if they're meant to be released into the church, if they're meant to be released into our schools, into our neighborhoods, into our communities with precision and with direction, then it seems to me that there would also need to be the right kind of tension. We often work to avoid it. We don't like when tension rises in our home. We don't like when tension rises with our teenagers. But if we think of them like arrows waiting to be released, then what I want to suggest this morning to you all is this. If there is no tension while they are young, if there is no tension while our kids are young, then there will be no direction when they grow older. Right? We don't like tension. We work to avoid it. But if there is no tension while they are young, there is no direction when they grow older. Think about a bow and think about an arrow. If there is no tension, if there is no stretch, and this is hard to stretch, right? If there is no stretch and if there is no pull, when it's released, right? If you set this thing up, when it's released, if there's no stretch, if there's no pull, it's not going to fly in the direction that it's intended to. If there's no stretch to it, if there's no pull to it, it might not even fly at all when it's released. If there's no tension while our kids are young, there is going to be no direction when they grow older. And I can't help but think that this concept, it's so true for us as we think about the next generation. As we think about the next generation waiting to be released from your quiver and mine. And when we think about this way, maybe we start to see that the tension that we're experiencing. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it is difficult in moments. When we start to think of it this way, maybe we realize that tension isn't such a bad thing after all. Maybe tension in our home or tension in our relationship with our kids or our grandkids maybe isn't something to fear. Maybe it isn't something to try to avoid or to try to eliminate. Maybe tension is a gift. Maybe the right kind of tension, when applied appropriately, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it can actually be leveraged for the sake of the adults that we are raising. Maybe it can be leveraged for the sake of the next generation of leaders that we are raising and then releasing into the world. And I think that we'll leverage the right kind of tension when we fully consider what the Bible says about raising this next generation. And so let me say real quickly here, you might be here today and you might not care a ton about what the Bible says about raising kids. You might not really care about the Bible's advice to you about parenting or anything else for that matter, but I'm guessing you do want your kids to be released into the world with precision and direction that will last, right? So if that's you this morning, I think there's still something for you to listen to here. And so I want to invite all of us to consider what it is that the Bible says and actually what it is that Solomon again writes in Proverbs 22:6. Here's what he says about raising up our kids. He says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And then even when he is old, he will not depart from it. He says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is older, he will not depart from it. Some translations say, start them off, our kids, our children. Direct them on the right path. One translation says, point them in the right direction now, so that when they grow older, they will not stray from it. They will not get lost, that they'll still be heading in the direction that is best for them. That sounds really good. That sounds really nice. Hey, just start them off on the right path. But the truth is, doing that can be hard. Training kids up now when we're in the trenches, when we're having carrots thrown at us, right? Training kids now and teaching kids right from wrong and directing, you know, kids towards what's best for them rather than what's most fun for them. Actually saying no to them, even when they are freaking out and throwing carrots. Lord willing, that's not happening in public, right? But doing these kind of things and doing the hard work of parenting and disciplining, it's always easier said than it is consistently done. Because you know what you create? Do you know what you create when you lead your child in the way that they should go rather than the way that they want to go? Do you know what you create when you lead your kids in the way that they should go rather than the way that all their friends go? Do you know what you create when you lead your kids in the way that they should go rather than the way that seems like everybody else goes? You create a whole lot of tension. Tension in your home, tension in your relationship, tension in your family. But if there is no tension while they are young, there is no direction when they grow old. And so I want to see if we can't start to think about the tension that we experience in a whole new way. Now, I'm not saying, this is what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that your home, it should always be like this. If your home is filled with drama and fireworks all the time, it's a good thing. I'm not saying that your home should be full of conflict and fireworks and drama nonstop. But if we're being intentional to start our kids off on the right path, training them up, then there is going to be some kind of tension. And so the question is, what kind of tension are we talking about? What kind of tension actually leads to the direction that we want for our kids? I think, I do listening on parenting and things like that. When you take in everything that's being said and written, I think that the tension that results from our focus on three different things, I think is actually a tension that we can be glad for. I think it's tension that results from our focus on three things that is really good when it comes to our kids. And that focus on those three things is this. Number one, leading them. Number two, loving them. And number three, launching them. I think tension that arrives from our focus on those three things, leading them, loving them, and launching them, is tension that we can be grateful for. And so I want to say a few things about all of these. And we'll start with leading them. The main idea that every blogger, every writer, every pastor, every author, every speaker who's talking about parenting today is the idea that kids need a parent, not a pal. That's our role, to be leading them. Our kids need a parent, not a pal. And especially as our kids grow older, it's easy to feel like we want to be pals with them, right? We want to be the cool mom or dad. We want to be the ones that are in the know. We want to know what's happening in the halls of school and who's with who and who said what and when. But our kids don't necessarily need a pal. They need a parent leading them. That doesn't mean we can't have a great, that doesn't mean we can't have a fun, awesome relationship with them. It just means we have to remember our role in their life. And that role might lead to difficult moments, and that role might lead to unpopular decisions that create some tension, but that's okay. And let me just say a word to kids here. If you are a kid, you are a teenager, and you find yourself thinking like, oh man, my parents are the worst. You know, why couldn't they be cool like Johnny's parents? One day I truly believe that if this is what they're doing, if they're leading you, one day I believe you'll thank them, right? That there might be some drama, there might be some tension now that you're feeling, that you're not liking, but it's only going to create a whole lot of direction for you in the years to come. And you'll most likely look back and you'll thank them for being a parent leading the way, not a pal. And when it comes to leading our kids and leading our families, this blogger named Amy Carney, she suggested something that I think is really quite cool. She suggested coming up with a family vision or mission statement as a way of leading your family. She says all successful organizations do this. They come up with a mission statement and a vision statement. So why don't we do this as families? She says, let's be proactive, not reactive to the things that we experience and the lessons that, you know, we're trying to teach our kids in the moment. Right, she says, let's identify now from the beginning. Let's get out in front of it. Let's identify now who we are as a family, what we're all about, what we're shooting for, what it is that we celebrate as a family. Right, let's create the compass now. Let's draw the roadmap now so that no one is guessing how we roll as a family. And I think if we really look at it, I think that was God's intention for parents from the very beginning. If we look into the book of the old into the book of Deuteronomy from the Old Testament, Moses is addressing God's people with messages and commands that God directed him to teach his people for when they finally inherited the land promised them. So they're on their way to this land, and God's telling Moses, hey, give these people these kind of messages, these commands for me. And so Moses lays it all out. Hey, when you guys get there, when you're on the way there, here's how this is going to work. And so he lays it all out, and then here's what he writes to God's people. And he says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. And then here's what he says. He says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forearms as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Right? What's Moses saying? He's saying, hey, lead them in the way that they should go. You set the direction and you make sure that they are certain at all times about the place that your family is running. Talk about this stuff. Make it normal. Make it natural. Make it a part of your everyday life so that they know how it is that your family does life together. It's what leading well is all about. The second piece is loving them well. And that might sound obvious. That might sound so obvious. You're going, hey, that didn't need to be said. Who doesn't love their kids? But the whole idea that as I read and listen to concepts like these, the whole idea behind loving them well has so much more to do with the home and the environment that we create for them, for our kids, right? We can't lead them well. We can't set boundaries well. We can't make tough calls very well as parents and as leaders unless we have a really unique family culture in our homes that can sustain those things, unless we have set aside time to build strong and loving and authentic relationships in our home and in our families. Eric and I were just invited over to dinner with a family from Midcurrent just a couple of weeks ago, and what we experienced around a table full of teenagers was actually pretty cool. Was actually pretty encouraging. These teenagers sat there and they talked to us and they talked to each other. They talked together as a family. They laughed with us and they laughed with each other. Sometimes they laughed at each other, which is fun to see families doing together. And it was clear to us that this was a normal deal. I mean, it was clear to us that dinner together and time together and relationship together and just, you know, carving out spaces to be together as a family, it was clear to us that this was a normal and a natural thing. And folks, the truth is that doesn't just happen. You don't just stumble your way into a family that makes time to be together and that eats together and that enjoys being together and that has great relationships together. That's the result of loving well and creating a home. In an environment where their kids are known, where they're safe and where they're comfortable and where they can be honest and vulnerable and yet still loved and still have a seat at the table and still have a space in the family. And so I think we got to find ways to make that kind of environment the norm in our home. And so we got to be leaders and we got to be the ones loving. And then the last piece is we got to be the launchers. Right? We got to be the ones to launch. Loving well and leading well very well might create some tension, yes. Tension that makes you wish maybe this season would just kind of fast forward a little bit. And it is going to pass. It is a season in our life that is going to come to an end. But I think it's that tension that's going to create a whole lot of direction. I think it's that tension that is going to be your friend when it comes time to launch your kids into this world. And launching them isn't just a one-time event. I mean, it's not just a one-time thing when they turn 18 years old. It's a whole series of little moments along the way that we prepare them and we teach them and train them to be the adults that we desire them to be. And launching them begins with letting them, you know, do some things on their own, tie their own shoes, help around the house, pack their own lunch, right? It's letting them make mistakes. It's letting them try and experiment and make mistakes while they're still under our own roofs, right? It's the best time. It's the safest place for them to experiment, to try, and to fail while they're still in the environment that we control for them. So start giving them some opportunities to try, to experiment, and to learn some new life skills along the way. The trouble is, and this is just the challenging thing about being a parent with a big heart these days. The problem is this doesn't always happen. It's actually interesting to me as I look into more of this stuff. There's actually a new parenting trend today that is, I think it's hurting kids a lot more than it's helping them. You might have heard in you know years past, you might have heard of helicopter parenting being kind of a trend in parenting, right? The parent that just kind of hovers over their kids and never lets them out of their sight. Well, they psychologists and social scientists today said there's kind of a new trend in parenting that's emerging. And I've heard it called two different things, and both are getting at the same idea. But what I've heard it called is snowplow parenting or lawnmower parenting. Snow plowing or lawn mowing. And what we're seeing more and more today is parents who love their kids so much. And I got to fight this battle myself sometimes. It's parents who love their kids so much that they can't stand to see them experience any bit of resistance, any bit of pain, any bit of discomfort. And so they go out ahead of their kids, plowing down and pushing away and mowing down every bit of resistance, any potential obstacle that could jump up or that could hinder them or could stub the toe of their precious little children. And when that happens, what happens then is that we launch our kids into the world. We launch our kids into the next phase of life who have never experienced any discomfort. They've never experienced any disappointment. They never experienced any opposition before. They've never experienced any resistance or learned how to solve any kind of problem because their parents always went ahead of them and just mowed it out of the way, plowed it all to the side. We mean well, we mean really well, but sometimes we're not doing our kids any good. So we have to learn how to launch them well, and launching means not protecting them from everything that could go wrong. The best approach that I heard to launching our kids well was this, to parent 6 years ahead. I really liked this. As I thought about what it would be like to launch my own kids with precision and direction into the world, this piece of advice was huge for me. Parent 6 years ahead. Begin parenting now like your kids are 6 years older than they are. So take this for an instance. This is an easy one for us to consider. If your kid is 10, start talking about right now while they're 10 years old, what it's like to be able to drive. Start talking about right now what that responsibility is all about. Teenagers who get to drive and you know who get to you know be responsible for a car. Start talking about what responsible practices are and what expectations are for a teenager who gets to have their license and who gets to drive a car. And if you start talking about that stuff now, while they're 10, then it's going to be normal and it's going to be natural and it's going to be just you know expected when they're 16. And you can apply that to any area of life or you know, kind of any stage in life when it comes to our kids, sharing or doing homework or going to the parties or getting cell phones and on down the line. Start talking about the things we expect now so that when you get down the line, it's just kind of normal and natural and you're not trying to react on the fly. So we've got to be leaders. We've got to be the ones loving well and we got to be the launchers. And when we lead well, as parents, not as pals, when we model well and you know, and expect loving relationships together in our family, when we start the launching process well before it's time to start launching, right? When we say no to the smartphones or no to the you know party buses, and when we say yes, right, to time together, to things that we expect together, when we say, hey, give this a try while you're here with us, we can be guaranteed one thing, that there will be tension. There will be tension when we say, no, that's not how our family rolls. When we say, yes, this is what we're going to do together. When we say, hey, give this a try, there's going to be tension, but we can't cave to it, and we can't shrink to it or shrink in the face of it, because if there is no tension in the lives of our kids while they're as young, there is no direction when they grow old. And so this morning, I want to wrap this up, and I want to just invite you to two things today as a family. As a couple, as just an individual, if that's where you're at with the whole deal of raising kids, I want to invite you to do two things today. Number one, identify which of these three things you might need to leverage most in your family right now. These aren't the only three approaches. These aren't the only three kind of things that are going to create, you know, competent and compassionate and you know, caring kids, but these are just three things for us to think about. So which of these is the one you want to focus on right now? Which of these is maybe missing? Which one isn't creating the right kind of tension that you actually need to release your kids into the world? Do you need to focus more on leading well? and what that looks like to set the direction. You need to focus more on loving well and establishing home and with the idea that relationships and time spent together is natural. Or do you need to work on launching well, finding ways to prepare your kids more to launch into this world? I want to invite you in the hours that come this afternoon or in the days that follow this week to think about which of these three you might need to leverage more of right now. And the second thing would be this, to join our small group that's starting called Parenting the Love and Logic Way. If you're all interested in sharpening these kind of skills as well as sharpening any other kind of parenting skill in your toolbox, I really think this small group will help. It's not necessarily a small group. It's a parenting course, but we really are excited, and we've designed it intentionally as a small group here so we could have parents sit around the table with other parents to realize, hey, we're not alone. We're in this thing together. Right? And it's designed to introduce you to an approach to parenting and an approach to leading and to loving and to launching that I really cannot say enough good things about. It has paid so many dividends in my home already, and quite frankly, I think I'm more excited to experience this kind of content all over again. And it starts this afternoon, and it's not too late. You can actually even stop at our welcome desk day to get registered if you're feeling like, hey, that's something that I want to do. Sit around the table with other people who are in the same season like I am and to learn how to lead better, to love better, to launch better. Because the truth is, this season is going to pass in our life. And I think there's a great lesson that we can learn in the middle of it. And here's why this matters to me, right? Because this season of raising kids, of being a kid, right? It isn't going to last, right? And the truth is, in the middle of it right now, it might not be what you expect it to be. Right? It might be more drama, more headaches, more difficult moments, more unpopular decisions than you imagine, but I believe it's in those moments that God is preparing our kids. If you are a kid, if you are a teenager, I believe it's in those moments that God is preparing you for a full and fulfilling life of purpose and direction. And so I hope you would embrace whatever kind of tension that you're experiencing right now in a whole new way. I pray that you might even leverage that tension in a whole new way. Let me pray for us. God, we do thank you for the gift that kids and that children are. And God, for those of us that are in that space of life, God, we give you thanks. We do know that they are a gift, and we just pray that you would be our guide as we lead them, as we love them, and as we launch them into this world to be the people, to be the leaders in this world, in their communities, in their schools that you created them to be. God, so would you be our guide as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, as caregivers? God, would you be our guide to know how best to lead them? God, would you be our guide to know what kind of tension is best, what kind of tension we can stand, what kind of tension we can live with so that our kids fly straighter and farther and with a whole lot more direction than we ever could have imagined, God? Would you be our guide in that? And we give you thanks for who you are. We give you thanks for your incredible love for us, and we give you thanks for the plans that you have for us, for our families, for our kids, and for these adults that will become the next generation of leaders in this world, God. We give you thanks for your love, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.